0-12.
Thunk it. And let me just say this, because somebody will say, oh, she can't speak English. I know thunk is not a word. But who would have ever thunk it?
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? It is, once again, your favorite podcast duo. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. And I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And Court.
And Court.
Is in session.
In session.
Whoa. That echoed.
Is that a good thing?
I think echo. So. The I think so, because we needed it today.
Stuff. Yeah.
We needed to bring a lot to Court today. I think we should just get right into it. I do too. Because there's a lot
weekend.
To get
Hope
to.
You had a great weekend. Let's roll.
Yes. Had a great weekend. Good talk. Chat. Kathy Engelbert. I think that's where we need to start, because one, we haven't talked since this happened. So this is us also talking about it for the first time, just one-on-one. And I wanted to hear your thoughts and kind of get your feelings. So what happened is last week on Monday, Kathy Engelbert appeared on a CNBC Power Lunch and was asked by anchor Tyler Matheson about some of the negative interactions of the WNBA fans on social media, in particular when race or sexuality is brought up. And Kathy just fumbled the answer. I feel like it was very much a home run, a alley-oop, I guess I should say. Let's keep it basketball terms. An alley-oop. Yeah. And she smoked the layup. She smoked it. Should I read the entire response and then we kind of get the reaction from that?
Okay. In case anyone didn't hear it.
In case anyone missed
it. It would be great. Yeah.
So this was the answer. One thing that's great about the league right now, we do sit at the intersection of culture and sports and fashion and music. WNBA players are really looked at now as cultural icons. When you have that, you have a lot of attention on you. There's no more apathy. Everybody cares. It is a little bit of the Bird Magic moment, if you recall, from the 1979 when those two rookies came in from a big college rivalry, one white, one black. So we have that moment with these two. But the one thing I know about sports is you need rivalries. That's what makes people watch. They want to watch games of consequence between games of rivals. They don't want everybody being nice to one another. Social media is different today than it was in 1979 when it didn't exist. I always tell the players, I was told a long time ago, if someone's typing something in and you want to ask their advice, ignore it. It's a balance. But certainly from marketing dollars, corporate partners are stepping up to endorse these players much more so than they were 5 years ago, because they see the benefit of having women and diverse women representing their brand. It's just a big sigh. Yeah.
Are you done reading her answer?
I am done reading her answer. Yes.
Because I'm still waiting for the answer.
We all were.
Like, first of all, you didn't even answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, what a big miss. And there's so much stuff that I really want to say. And like, we could talk about this for the entire segment, but we won't, because we got some really good, better news to talk about. Man, you know what I took from that answer, because she didn't answer the question? To me, it was more like a stuff that athletes have been hearing for a while now. more mm-hmm. like a shut up and dribble.
Mm.
Right? Like, as long as the dollars are coming in and the money is coming in, we're good on this side. So y'all need to like just not even pay attention to all of this other stuff that I'm going to pretend like doesn't exist when it truly does. And I'm going to make it about something else. And Jordan, as someone who has dealt with this, continues to deal with this on social media, and I'm removing myself from it because I'm not a current player. I'm a former player. But you have current players in this league that every single day is dealing with the hatred, the racism, the evilness, the sexuality of it, like everything. And it was a perfect opportunity for you to make it right. No, you can't control what people are going to do and say on social media. None of us can.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as the leader of the WNBA, of a predominantly Black league, you have to be better in that moment. Like you said, she was thrown an alley-oop. And if she ain't got no hops, then she was just throwing a good pass. Are you a shooter? You were throwing a good pass and you shot an air ball.
Yes.
And it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing to sit here and like you just didn't answer the question. Yeah. And then to maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but then to basically put out an apology tweet at 11:55 p.m. and then mute your comments.
Mm-hmm.
Like my thing was just like keep the apology at this point, because even the apology was very like, oh, oops, my bad. Is this what y'all are looking for?
It very was disappointing is the best word for it, because I feel like everything that you said, just co-signing everything. The point that you are the leader of this league, and I understand. I know, I am very aware that Kathy Engelbert is the talking head of this league.
Absolutely.
There are so many people working behind the scenes, but your job is to be the spokesperson on behalf of the WNBA. So when things like this are presented to you, this is your opportunity to be a spokesperson on behalf of your players. Yeah. And so when you say something like this, when you talk about the bottom line, when asked about racial tensions and just gross stuff that is happening on social media, it's not a representation of your players. And I think that's what all of the players' responses were. You know, players were asked about it on during their shoot arounds, during post-game press conferences after, you know, all that went down. And to your point, Kathy did send a note, I think a whole day later, saying, during a recent media interview, I was asked about the dark side of social media and online conversations about WNBA rivalries and race. To be clear, there is absolutely no place for hate or racism of any kind in the WNBA or anywhere else. But this was after the backlash of the players. This was after the WNBPA released a statement that was very straightforward. And it is a very long statement, but I think the statement that I do want to read from Terry Jackson, who's executive director of the Players Union, she said, "This is not about rivalries or iconic personalities fueling a business model. This kind of toxic fandom should never be tolerated or left unchecked. It demands immediate action and frankly should have been addressed long ago." Point blank, period. Like, point, we're not dancing around anything else. Should not have been left unchecked. You know Terry gonna get us right.
Talk about a slam dunk. Now, Terry caught the alley-oop and did what she was supposed to do with it, right? But Jordan, let me say this, and then we can move on. Like I said, we could talk about this forever. For a league that's been around for, what are we in, 2000, whatever, for 27 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that this stuff didn't exist before, because to me, racism has always been alive and well, always.
Yeah.
But this for me is the first year that I can honestly say I've seen it. I've been a part of it, like the receiving end of it. Mm-hmm. And it takes away, for me, it takes away the fun and excitement of watching the WNBA.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to feel that way, right? As a former player, someone who helped build the league, like this is not where I have ever wanted to see this league be. Didn't think I would ever see it go here, but it's real. And at some point, someone has got to say enough is enough. And that mm-hmm. someone in that moment should have been Kathy Engelbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing I'll say on it. She mentioned the Larry Bird Magic Johnson rivalry mm-hmm. in 1979 mm-hmm. and how that, you know, now we look at it in the history books and it saved the NBA. It was a necessary rivalry. One, they didn't come into the league at the exact same time. So I want to fact check that. But you don't think there was racism in the Bird and Magic rivalry?
100%.
From Boston?
100%.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like when Magic Johnson yeah. went into those arenas, oh my God.
He was called everything but a child of God.
I think we have to remember that part of the rivalry yeah. as well. We yes. can't only think about it on the basketball court and say, well, they were great for the league and they helped yeah, the NBA's bottom line.
That's a great point.
Was so many levels of racism and disgust when you look back on that time in history. So you can't gloss over that and use that as an example of how, look at this positive example of what happened, just like it happened in the NBA. No, there was racism there. If there was social media at that time, those Larry yeah. Bird fans were yeah. probably saying some horrible things about Magic Johnson. So we can't ignore that. And we want to make sure that that is also remembered when we think about Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Now they're BFFs, but it didn't start that way. Okay.
It's a great point.
Let's move on. We had to get that out the way.
Sorry.
Do better.
Do better.
Yeah, Kathy, we're disappointed. I think you had to do the very corporate thing to do and put out a statement, do damage control, but we kind of want that to be the first reaction. But okay. Some other positive news. The Golden State Valkyries. I still love that name.
I do too. I love the colors. I love the name.
And now I love their locker room. Did you see those photos? Oh my goodness. Let's give a little context. They shared some plans of how the team's locker room is going to be at the shiny new Chase Center. Like their arena is already so new as it is. And the practice facility that's going to be in Oakland, it's going to all be done right ahead of the 2025 WNBA season. The team's Chase Center V-shaped locker room will measure 6,800 square feet and symbolize the unity of Valkyries in flight formation. Cheryl, this is next level.
For one moment, the retired player in me is so mad at me. And it's a lot of these new arenas and locker rooms, mm-hmm. but the photos that the Valkyries posted, I was like, dang, Paige Beckers is gonna love this. I did just put that out there.
She's not going there. She's gonna be a spark.
I did just put she ain't going there either. I did just put that out there. But listen, whoever in free agency, expansion draft, listen, I'm raising my hand. If I'm a player in free agency or if I'm not one of the players that's protected, I'm like, sign me up. I want to go. Because things like this matter.
Yes.
They matter. The facility matters. The fact that you will have your own stuff, right?
Yeah.
And not have it to share with the men and get pushed out when the men need it, because that has happened and probably continues to happen. But man, talk about first class everything.
Dining room, hot, cold tub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Player lounge. Separate offices for coaches, medical staff, player development. Like, this is a new era. I love it. I also feel like, and I don't know where
I
petition this or sign, but I feel like former players, especially once you reach the threshold of 4 championships and 3 MVPs, you should just have an all-access pass to all of these arenas, like a VIP scan. It'll just scan you in. Jordan, and then you can just, you happen to be in the Bay Area, you should be able to stop by.
I love that. Put it out there.
Okay.
Don't put it on Kathy's plate, because she got enough on her plate.
That's true. I don't know who would be in charge of this,
but I love that. So does it? But if it has to be 4 championships, there's a lot of former players that won't be able to get that ban.
That's what I said. It's a very limited access pass. Only a few, only a very select few players would have it. And
girl, you about to start some trouble.
I think you should have it. I think you should.
What a great idea.
Well, shout out to them. And I think it is just perfect the way they're just trickling out information, because it's about to be the end of the season.
Yeah.
People, you know, free agencies are having to think if they're going to sign. Players are having to make some decisions, and they're like, hey, look at what you're going to get over here. You know, like, it's all methodical and perfectly planned out. So I can't wait to see who they add to their roster.
And side note, and I don't know if you know the answer to this because I haven't seen it. Do we know how many players teams are going to be able to protect in the expansion draft?
I don't know.
I haven't seen that anywhere yet. Just curious.
And I'm also curious because the last time we had an expansion draft was 2008 for the Atlanta Dream. Do we get new rules? Do we just get all new rules in the sense that things can be changed? And that was a long time ago. So I'm still thinking we're going by those old rules, but I could see some new rules trickle out by time. And then we heard that the expansion draft is going to be in December at some time. So while the playoffs are starting, will new rules drop? I could see that happening. I'm not putting that out.
I would like to see it.
Me too. Because
depending on how many players teams can protect, like, the Valkyries could immediately be a really good team.
I know, which isn't always.
And then you have free agency, and then you have the draft. Like, it isn't, but
yeah,
they could be good like right away. So
they could, and we're gonna have 2 expansion drafts back to back yes, the CBA is coming to the end at the end of next season, so that could change some things because they could protect themselves or you know, I don't know, open the field more for it to be signed.
I don't know how we got here, but last thing, I don't think the players that the Valkyrie will get I don't think the Valkyrie should lose any players in the next expansion draft, right? To Toronto.
Yes.
They should be able to keep their team.
Especially because it's so new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, there has to be new rules.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
we're going to table that conversation because I feel like we have some thoughts. I think we also have some thoughts of who the Valkyries should get, what that team should look like, because you're right. Yeah. They could be really good. The talent now in the league is so good that if you spread it out some more, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last thing in this section, let's talk about this 8th seed.
Girl, what are we doing?
The Mystics. What are we doing? Where? I just feel like, what am I thinking of? Like on Price is Right. Do you watch Price is Right?
Of course.
Okay, I love Price is Right. You know the game where it's like the little yodeler? And it's like going up climbing the up mountain. The,
like he's skiing up the mountain.
Yeah, yeah. He's skiing up the mountain. That's what I imagine the Washington Mystics. Just as these last couple weeks, they've been that yodeler. Just slowly climbing up the mountain to the point where it is a three-way tie. As we are recording this on Tuesday morning, it is a three-way tie with Washington, Atlanta, and Chicago for that 8th and final playoff spot. The Mystics had a chance to seal the deal by beating Atlanta twice in 1 week. They had a little mini series, but it went into overtime and they came up just short. So now we are still in a tie. I was like, Mystics, do you know what's on the line? You could shock everybody and just secure this right now. And they could do it. So here we are.
But the fact that we're even talking about them possibly making the playoffs after starting the season 0-12. Thunk it. And let me just say this, because somebody will say, oh, she can't speak English. I know thunk is not a word. But who would have ever thunk it?
Yeah. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. It's a
Like they look good.
Yeah.
But so I'll say this, because you and I both were wrong.
I still have a chance. I said Atlanta.
I was like Dallas.
Yeah.
Girl, I missed the mark on that one. But are you sticking with Atlanta for that 8th spot?
So it gets real interesting because later today, we're recording this on Tuesday, Atlanta and Chicago face off. And that could determine who gets that 8th spot. And I'm going with Atlanta. I think Atlanta has won. Tina Charles is doing something crazy this season. I don't think we've really talked about it, how she has come back and has been a huge factor. But I'm going with Atlanta. It's going to have a short shelf life. But yeah. I think the momentum, Chicago's momentum is still going down to me. Like, I think it would be wild if they still held on to that spot.
And especially, okay, so Chicago lost Angel already, and then Camilla re-aggravated her shoulder, so we don't know if she's going to play. And without the two of them, it just does not look very good. Mm-hmm. So, and then when I look at who they have left, so Chicago is at Atlanta and at Connecticut.
Yeah.
That's their last two games, right? Just that doesn't look good. Atlanta, they play Chicago at home and then they're at New York. Maybe they go 1-1. Maybe they go 0-2. Maybe they go 2-0. Who knows? I don't know. And then the Mystics, I think they have the toughest schedule with New York at home and Indiana at home.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The Mystics needed, they were at home. Well.
Yeah.
They needed to get that win over Atlanta. Yeah. Like that was, but they're hoping that So the Mystics, if I'm understanding this right, the Mystics are hoping that Atlanta loses to Chicago and loses to New York. Would that? No, Mystics would have to win. They would have to win one of those games.
I think to kind of control their own fate or destiny, they really need to win both of these games.
Yeah. Which is really hard.
And
to
they're
do.
Yeah, but they're at home, right? The Mystics play New York at home, and they play Indiana at home. I'm just saying, stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, like an 0-12 team being in the in the hunt for the eighth seed.
For the title playoff spot, right?
Hey, things could happen. I don't know. Cheryl, I don't know if you remember a last time where we are going down to the final games. This isn't the final week. This is like, okay, there's only three games max left for each team. And we need all of those wins before we start the playoffs next week. So that is really fun to me. I'm excited about that. So I'll be watching. Give you something to watch.
I hope it's the last game, but also gives you something to watch that means something, right? Because usually at the end of the season, some players are resting, they're not playing because they're getting ready for the playoffs. And when you look at the fact that there are still three teams competing for that final spot, these games are going to be good.
I love it. Okay. Well, we'll be watching, especially that Chicago-Atlanta game tonight. We'll see who gets that eighth seed to go on and play New York or Minnesota, which is really interesting. Minnesota would have to win out and New York would have to lose out for Minnesota to kind of jump that first seed. So I don't know if New York is going to lose both of those games, but they also have to play hard towards the end of the season so that they can keep that top seed, which makes it very interesting. But we're going to take a break. Pay some bills. When we come back, we got a mailbag. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. It's time for a listener mailbag because it's time to talk about Asia Wilson. We
one and only.
Very surprising that it took us this long to even mention her name, but you knew we were going to come with it. But there is a listener mailbag from Sarita, and I'm going to read it. Hey, guys, love the show. So glad y'all have this podcast for us fans. Wish y'all could do an episode every night. Okay, Sarita. Also proud to be a Swoopsie since 1993 when you played for Texas Tech, OG Swoopsie. We love it.
Wow.
But she goes, so how great is Asia M.F. Wilson? Have you ever seen someone do the things she is doing this season? I mean, there are so many great players before her, and even now that has accomplished a lot. I think Wilson is just dominating on another level and people still don't give her all the credit she deserves. Thank you guys. And keep having this platform for us fans to talk women's basketball. Sarita. P.S. I got to meet you, Cheryl, in 2001 at Disney World Wide of Sports while y'all were doing a clinic before the All-Star game. Best memory I ever had. So sweet.
Dang, 2001. What's up, Sarita?
But she has a great point. Asia Wilson, the first, the only WNBA player to score 1,000 points in a single season. Wow. Cheryl, what would you like to say about Asia, the A1? 8,000. I'm loving all the apostrophes, by the way. It's been great.
Me too. Jordan, you know, sometimes you can't find the words. And right now I can't find the words. But I would say I want to use what Asia said about Kalia Copper in the Olympics when she did her interview. I'm not going to say it, but when she did her interview and said she that B.
Mm-hmm.
What Asia is too. Sarita said Asia M.F. Wilson. I'll say Asia MF, that B Wilson. I don't know. I just
all of the above.
Yeah, listen, I have to Sarita's point, there have been some great players that have come through this league. I've been very fortunate to play with them, to play against them. Great players in the league right now. Asia Wilson is in a category all by herself. All by herself. And I know usually people, well, no, because people throw the GOAT word around way too often and too lightly. Sometimes I don't think people really know what that stands for. Greatest of all time.
Yes.
I will sit here today and say that Asia Wilson, I'm not going to say she's that right now, because there are still things that she wants to accomplish and she still will. But without a doubt, Asia Wilson will be in that conversation.
Absolutely.
And you could say that maybe she is there already, because to score 1,000 points in a single season, and it ain't like, and it ain't like we're playing 82 games in a season.
No.
Right? That's crazy. I just saw, excuse me, I think maybe it was Michaela Onyewede.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Yes.
I finally hit 1,000 points. And she hit 1,000 points in her career, not in a season.
Yes.
You got, for anyone who's listening, and if you don't understand sports, basketball, it's unheard of. 1,000 points in a single season. It's never been done. Of the great players that have come through this league that I've had the pleasure of playing with and against, none of us could do what Asia Wilson has done and what she continues to do. Like, I 2024 stats. She's first in points at 27 points a game. Second in rebounds, at 12 rebounds a game, which will soon be first, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah,
because
she's behind Angel.
That's what she does, right? 2.3 assists, shooting 52% field goal percentage, 2.6 blocks per game. And you know the best part of all of this? She's just a great human being.
Absolutely.
Her teammates love her. Her teammates respect her. I cried when I saw the video when she hit the 1,000 points. And you know what really stuck me, Jordan, was when she said, on days I hate being Asia Wilson.
Yeah.
Or some days I don't like being Asia Wilson. However she said it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that gave me goosebumps, like immediately.
But you know what's crazy? I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really felt that. And then when she was like, but I come and I see y'all and, whoo, girl, I'm about to cry right now because I could preach
I
all day.
Know. I know. It love was me some so Asia good. Wilson. I know. And I mean, I just commented on the post and I said, I love when great things happen to great people because she is so deserving. And when
no
you
doubt.
Hear, and we have said this so many times this season on this podcast of how her teammates talk about her and how she is a leader. And then these things happen and then it transpires on the court and transforms on the court. I mean, come on, because I think it's a different conversation if we're saying she's such a great person and she'll get there one day or like she's trying her
absolutely.
Best. No, she's the best in the world. And
hands down, she is hands still down,
a great person. My favorite stat, you know, I don't have his name pulled up, but he was on ESPN Around the Horn and he talked about not only this season from Asia Wilson, but the last 24 months. It wasn't Bomani, but it was the last 24 months of Asia Wilson. That just shows how dominant she's been. There's an MVP in there. There's a championship. Yeah. Then there's another championship. Then there's an Olympic gold medal. Then there's the MVP of the Olympics. And now she is about to be the unanimous MVP again.
She should be unanimous.
Yes, it was David Dennis Jr. who was on Around the Horn on ESPN, and he broke it down how it's like, we got to take out this season. We got to zoom out to it being the last 24 months of Asia Wilson. And she has been consistent. Like you talked about her stats, 27 points. She's 5 points higher than the second place. Like, she is at an unreal pace. And the 1,000 points, I love how you brought up Michaela Onyenwede, because I was thinking the exact same thing. It took her, I looked it up, 138 games to get to 1,000 points. And people in college celebrate after their whole 4 years. They stop the game. They give them a ball for reaching 1,000 points. She did it in one season. And she was brought to tears and she was so emotional. And I think it's been so fun to see her continue to get better. And to your point about the GOAT conversation, she has said in an interview, she's a baby GOAT right now. She wants to be in those conversations where she is the GOAT. She wants to be top tier. She will be. She has that desire. And it has been so amazing to witness. And like her teammate Alicia Clark said, I hope we aren't taking for granted what we are witnessing right now, because we need to all be in awe that this does not happen all the time. And we should be thankful that she's able to do this and we're able to watch it.
No doubt about it. The part that does frustrate me is like, and maybe it's just me and I'm missing it because I've really been trying to take a break from social media.
As you should.
Why aren't we celebrating her though? Like, I really haven't seen all of the hoopla and the stuff that we've seen, right? When Diana Taurasi was going for her, what, 10,000 point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It was almost like a countdown. Like, she's 50 points away. She's 49, right? Rightfully so, because Diana Taurasi is one of those. But why didn't we see that for Asia?
See, I did see it.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
I did see it, but I don't know if that's because that's what my feed is. You know, like, I follow the Aces account. I know, you know, a lot of people that were talking about it. So I was very aware going into this last game that she needed 29 points because I saw that.
But I don't mean from the Aces, though.
Just from everywhere. I feel like
the league itself. Like, I don't know. And maybe they did and I missed it. So if I missed it, I apologize for saying that. But I kind of feel like it happened. The Aces celebrated her, and that's where we got it all from the Aces celebrating her. And I think the next day I saw a post of something like Asia Wilson hits 1,000 points or whatever. I don't know. I just feel like she should be everywhere right now.
She should be. Because I also have to mention,
this is just crazy that what she's doing this season.
For no apparent reason, Bam Adebayo said there should be 1,000 reasons to smile today.
I'm glad you brought him up because it's out there now. So I'll just say it.
Thank God.
I love this couple. Like,
I love it.
Like, the cutest. They're the best. But I understand why they both try to keep the relationship as private as possible, because people are just mean. And it's none of your business.
It's none of your business. But I will say, I'm all in it now that the tea has been spilled.
I'm like, okay, y'all post something. Bam, post something.
Just like the past, however long they've been together, we need a backlog of photos and memories. Catch us up.
I just love it. I love everything about it.
Okay.
Asia Wilson, she is her.
She is her. I was going to say this felt like a flower segment, but we do have another flower segment coming up on the other side of the break. Welcome back. It is now time to hand out some more bouquets, because I feel like that was a huge one for Asia Wilson. But that means it's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. Cheryl, do you have some more flowers besides Asia MF Wilson?
Probably, but I'm just going to give Asia some more flowers.
Great.
Seriously, Jordan, like, I am one of the biggest competitors that I know. Even being a retired player. And what I have seen this entire season from Asia, Marquisha, I was going to give her another middle name, but I won't. Wilson. I've never seen before. She makes everyone around her better. Like I said before, she's in a world, a class, a league all by herself. But she remains grounded and humble. And I know that's because of her parents, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough words to describe how I truly feel about her as a person, first of all.
Yeah.
But as a player, we all are witnessing greatness.
We are.
It takes a lot for me to be like, whoa, right? Because I feel like I've seen it all. I've done it all. I haven't seen this. And to me, Asia Wilson is greatness. And so I am going to continue to give her flowers every opportunity I get. And the last thing I want to add, and then I'll let you go, is from one Black queen to another Black queen, it fills my heart to see Asia Wilson just walking in her truth, mm-hmm. just being who she is. Her dear Black girls, like, I felt all of that. There's just so much about her as a person that makes me, I'm going to say, a proud auntie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Asia Wilson is her.
She is. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. I love that. Yeah, I have two like miniature bouquets because okay. they're for two little girls. I don't know if you have seen this or if our listeners have seen this, but during WNBA League Pass, there is this story that's been playing about these two sisters in Chicago, Joy and Jade Lee, who started a lemonade stand to raise money to go to a Chicago Sky game.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen this.
Yes, it is so adorable. Oh, wow. They were trying to raise money to go to the Barbie game at the Chicago Sky had. And the Sky organization, they heard about it. They showed up and they gave them all tickets, her whole family, to go to the game. And so I just want to give flowers not only to those little girls because they came dressed to a T and they're pink and their skirts and they were like ready to go for the Barbie game and they, you know, show footage of them cheering. And that is what it is all about. Like, I was just brought to tears almost because it's like, this is what we're doing. We are trying.
This is what it's about, right?
This league. It's so little girls can come in there pink, but also be chanting defense. Like, it's
love it.
What it is all about. And so I want to give them flowers for one, having the gumption to be like, hey, I want to go to this game, so I'm going to find a way.
Yeah.
I'm going to create a lemonade stand. I'm going to find some money to go to this game. But then also to the Sky organization for surprising them. And it was so beautiful. So
I love it.
Those are my flowers. I love that story.
I love that. I love that.
Yay,
yeah, because I don't know. I don't know if I ever would have thought about starting my own lemonade stand. First of all, I don't want to use my money to do it.
I was like, when I asked my parents for a dog and they were like, yeah, if you come up with half the money, I was like in middle school, I was recycling. I was taking recycled bottles from my classmates, pushing them in my backpack so that I can turn that into money for my puppy.
I like that.
I love that mentality, Cheryl.
No, I love those flowers. That was good.
Those are so good. Well, this has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Please continue to follow, rate, and review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also send any questions, feedback, and stories to our listener email, queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And you can always find us on social media. You can find me at AirSwoops22, and Jordan is at HeyJordanR.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple, music from T-Storm Battle, and a very special thank you to Alex Ozzie and Lena Moss Glazer.
Ann Court
is adjourned.